Welcome to No Sugar,
Just Spice.
I'm Sheer.
And I'm Sen.
1, 2, 3, hi. Okay, I think that was good.
As we navigate the early stages of our careers, we wanted to bring you a weekly dose of our unapologetic dialogue.
I was like, ha 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 ha.
Oh yeah.
No.
Join us every week as we dive into topics on all of our minds and cover all the latest trends, obsessions, and struggles we encounter on the daily.
We're getting personal and professional, and we're here to talk about it all. No sugarcoating, no BS, just a little bit of Middle Eastern spice.
Get ready for an authentic exploration of all the highs and lows, because life's too short for sugar-coated stories. This is No Sugar, Just Spice, where honesty meets the mic.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to No Sugar, Just Spice with Sheer and Sen. Here we are. Oh, I feel like these intros are like so intimidating. I get so nervous.
Guys, we have corny intros for now, but don't worry. We're getting used to it.
What did you say last time to wrap us up? I like that.
Oh, I was like, I hope you enjoyed our spicy conversation. Or no, I hope we added a little spice to your day. That's what it was.
To your day or to your life?
Oh, I don't remember. I have to go check.
But yes, we're back again, remote, even though I'll be home soon, which I'm excited about.
Sanaya's always back and forth. But you're coming for the sample sale, which I'm really excited, guys. Shop Elon sample sale. We're pumped.
Oh, yeah. Mark your calendars, everybody.
No, it's going to come out afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. Guys, the sample sale happens twice a year. When's the next one in the fall?
So we always have one in May, like around Mother's Day. And then we always have one a week before Thanksgiving. So sometime in November, but we always announce everything around 2 weeks before. So make sure you follow us on Instagram. All our local Miami people.
Some people fly in. Okay. I know people that fly in. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Some people fly in, which you're more than welcome to do, but it's a great event. Highly recommend. And it's a lot of fun. It's like a little reunion, which I love.
It is. I'm excited. We make a day out of it.
So today we're back with what's in the group chat.
Oh, much. I feel like there's so much happening always.
I know. We have Met Gala coming up soon. So I'm excited to recap that.
Me too. That's something that I actually follow because I love the outfits.
I love the outfits as well. So one thing I just have to bring up, and we don't have to get too much into it because I know like not everybody's a Swiftie and not everybody cares. But one little Swiftie piece of news that I think you would be interested in, Sheer.
Okay.
So she just released her new album.
Oh.
TTPD, the Tortured Poets Society.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. No, wait. The Tortured Poets Department. I always mess it up. Okay. That's what it's called. Amazing album for anybody who has listened. She came out with a double album, 30 songs. I have to mention it because this is big
30
news.
Songs?
Well, it's a double album. So first she came out with like the first 12 and then she like just released another 15.
How does she have time to make all that music? That's insane.
I don't know. But
oh my God.
Anyways, wow. I wish if people are interested, I would love to have my sister on and we can go through and recap our favorites.
Guys, let us know if you guys are, if we have a lot of Swifties on here and you guys would enjoy that, Sen will do a session with her sister. I will listen to that episode.
The Toast did a whole episode like right after and they were saying how it feels like homework that they have to study and prepare because everybody, as soon as the album comes out, they're like, what's your favorite?
And they're like analyzing what everything means and who it's about. Yeah, you guys go hard.
Yeah,
I know you guys do.
So on that topic, so she released a song. I don't know, you definitely haven't heard about this, but she released a song called Thank You, Amy. And there's three letters that are capitalized in the title of the song. And those three letters are K-I-M.
What? Like Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
No way.
Oh my God. Yeah. So the beef is still going strong. She basically has a diss track on the album.
Hold on.
That's written to Kim.
How did this beef even start? I know like something with Kanye, but I just don't understand like what... Give me like a 2 minute synopsis.
Okay. I'll give you the quick rundown.
Okay.
So years ago, okay. So you know about the whole beef. It all started with the VMAs when Kanye kicked her off the stage, blah, blah, blah. Said Beyonce deserves album of the year. This is when she was like just becoming famous. Then a few years later, he wants to release a song that says, "I made me and Taylor might still have sex. I made that be famous."
Oh, yes, right? He says. Yeah. Oh, I made that bitch famous. Yeah. I remember that line. That was about Taylor Swift.
So, yes.
Right after the whole BMAs thing?
No, it was maybe 2 years after. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
So whatever. He made that song a few years later. He claims that he got approval from Taylor. Okay.
Now knowing how psychotic he is with this whole anti-Semitism thing, I don't believe him.
Whatever. Yeah. That wasn't even the point. But they released on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they released a phone call because Taylor kept saying, "I never gave approval for that." And Kanye and Kim were like, "Yes, you did." So then on the
Kim
was involved. Yeah.
Okay.
So Kim is on Keeping Up with the Kardashians and she releases this phone call recording between Taylor and Kanye, where Taylor says it's a great song, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's fine. Basically. So everybody starts coming after Taylor. This is a time where they were taking her down in the media, literally destroying her reputation, saying she's a liar, she's a phony, whatever. Then, and the whole time, Taylor's still denying it. She's standing by what she says. Then Taylor comes out with the real unedited recording. So basically they edited bits and pieces of the phone call to make it sound like she approved that line. She did not.
So the recording they played on Keeping Up with the Kardashians was fake.
It was edited. So it was misconstrued and whatever.
Oh my God. So then she released the real recording where?
I don't remember how it came out.
Okay.
But by the time she came out with it, nobody cared. Her reputation was already ruined. This is when the whole snakes things happen. Everybody was commenting snakes on... Kim tweeted a bunch of, I don't know, tweets kind of subtly dissing Taylor and she put snakes. So everybody was commenting snakes all over her Instagram, blah, blah, blah. By the time the real recording comes out, people don't even care. They're not even paying attention. So her reputation's ruined. She literally went silent for, I don't know how long, at least a year or 2 years. I don't know exactly how long. And she comes out with her amazing album Reputation, which is basically a clapback album. And anytime there's a Reputation tour or anything related, she wears snakes or something to do with snakes. Cause that's become the symbol of their beef. And also on top of it, do you remember the album for that, the music video for that song, Famous? He literally puts a wax doll figure of Taylor that's completely naked in the video.
Oh my God.
And Kim is taking selfies with it. She's posting it everywhere. She's making it the biggest joke.
Okay. That's
so that's the summary. Now you know for people who don't know the beef. But the point is that Taylor is not over the drama years later. That bitch can hold a grudge for years.
I mean, doesn't North love Taylor Swift songs and
TikTok
videos?
So in this song, Thank You, Amy, she's basically saying you, Amy, until the end. She literally says that in the song. And there's a line in the song that says, "Your kid will come home singing my song one day and only you and I will know it's about us."
No.
Yes.
She says that in the song?
Yeah.
It's already happening. So she's not wrong.
Isn't that wild? That's just why I love her. Because she just reveals it all in her music.
Has Kim commented on this?
No, she hasn't.
Ooh, that is that is crazy.
Still going strong.
Okay. So is that song good though?
Yeah, it's very good. It's not one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's not one of my favorites. I love I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Great song. I love Guilty as Sin. Such a good song. Down Bad is really good. Daddy, I Love Him. Very good songs. You guys should check them out.
All right.
And we're just going to wrap it up there because I don't want to get too much into T-Swift because I could talk about this the whole episode. And we have other things to talk about.
As always.
Anyways, so what else did I want to... Oh, I really wanted to get into... because this is something we talk about all the time. Because we are always fixated on some kind of meal, specifically breakfast.
We're big foodies, Sen and I.
And we're both kind of the same in that, like, once we like something, we could eat that same thing for months.
Literally. And it's weird because, like, that's like me at home, but like with restaurants, I like don't want to go to the same restaurant. I want to go to all the restaurants and try new ones. But when I find something that I can make myself.
Exactly.
All the time.
You make it exactly the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
What's better than that?
Mm-hmm.
So what I have been eating for like the past few months consistently for breakfast every single day has been my sourdough toast from Trader Joe's, but any sourdough will do.
I get sourdough toast from Zach the Baker.
Oh, yum. I have a local bakery. That's also good.
Oh, but like, so sad. Sourdough from local bakeries, the best.
I know, but I still do like the Trader Joe's one.
All right, fine. Zach the Baker for all my Miami girls, okay? All Miami listeners.
Yes, that place is amazing. Okay, so I do either either cottage cheese or sour cream, like not sour cream, creme fraiche, which I also get from Trader Joe's. And then I do sliced tomatoes with salt and pepper. And also, if you want to get very fancy, then you scrape raw garlic on the toast.
Ooh, I love doing that.
So good.
I love doing that.
So that's been my go-to. Love cottage cheese. I could eat that every single day.
Wait, and do you like the whipped cottage?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I only like that one. It's called Friendship Whipped Cottage Cheese. So
I need to buy that.
Into it. You have to. They sell it at most supermarkets.
Yeah. Ugh, but yeah, yum.
That's my recommendation
of the day.
I love
that. I honestly love toast with sour cream and tomato. Like
so
my
good.
Husband and I eat that all the time. And salt, obviously. We have to.
Like some flaky.
And like I add red pepper flakes.
I add white pepper, which is also
love
a
white pepper
thing that I love.
Love. I think that's the toast. I make that often, not with whipped cottage, which I'm going to buy that brand and try it out. That and avocado toast, like always. But like I always put like sourdough, cream cheese, avocado. And then if I like want protein, I'll add an egg on top.
Yeah. Oh, I want that right now. I used to do hot honey in this combo, but lately I've been more in a salty mood, so I've been doing more salty.
I'm not a huge fan of putting hot honey on those kind of toasts. I'm a huge fan of putting hot honey on pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I do that too.
But Mr. O1 adds honey on some of their pizzas, which is so good.
I know. Yum. Oh, okay. I'm so happy. Passover's over. I literally got the best pizza last night.
So did I. Like, I went to Mr. O1.
You did? Oh, yum. And now I'm back on my breakfast game with my toast because I was really struggling for a bit.
Well, I went this morning. I had like a business meeting and I went to Mamo or Maman, however you guys pronounce it, which is like this French cafe style restaurant that they have in New York City that I used to go to for years. I think they opened up like 10 years ago in Manhattan. And they just opened one in Miami a month ago.
Oh my God, we have to go.
In Wynwood. We have to go. Like I had like a buttermilk biscuit with jam and a strawberry rhubarb matcha.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible.
My breakfast was just like heaven, honestly. I
need
great.
To go get a biscuit.
For all my Florida Gators, if you guys remember the Flying Biscuit breakfast place in Gainesville, best biscuits in the world. That's like real Southern biscuits.
What an underrated food.
Mm-hmm. Biscuits, man. Like that's the Southerner in me that just never left Gainesville.
Yum. I really might go get one after this.
You should. Oh my God, send me a pic.
Okay, I will. So yeah, I just wanted to share that because breakfast is my favorite part of the day. And I used to not be that way. But I really feel like it gets your day going and it gets you productive. And it's important. Even if you're not hungry in the morning, I think it just sets up your day the right way.
It's just hard. I don't really have to like usually I like jump out of bed and I have to go to a meeting and then I'm in meetings until lunch. So like I'm not the best at it, but I really need to make some time because like I don't want to be starving by lunchtime.
Yeah, if you're thinking about food, you cannot focus. At least I cannot.
Yeah.
That's my current fixation. That's been for months now. I'll let you know once it changes.
Also, when you come in 2 weeks, we still need to make the Sleepy Girl mocktails that I still have not had.
I know. We didn't have time last week.
So we got to
We were too rushed. We don't want to be rushed when we're doing it.
No, we want to fall asleep.
exactly. Okay, so Speaking of good habits, I really have been wanting to talk about this book that kind of changed my life. And people that I speak to have been wanting me to talk about this on the podcast. So I don't even know how to get into this, but okay. This is like confession time.
Guys, this is going to be a therapeutic session for Sen, but she's going to impart a lot of wisdom on you. And I will be here to support because I am a huge supporter of this.
Yes. So basically, let's start at the beginning. So a few months ago, I would say in December 2023, I decided to throw away a terrible, terrible habit, which I know a lot of people can relate to. It's vaping.
She quit the vape.
I quit the vape. And I'm here to tell you that it's amazing to be on the other side. And I want to share how I got here because it was definitely not an easy road. And yeah, I just want to like this. So this is really for people. It's people who maybe are addicted to nicotine, are still vaping, but also like everybody knows somebody who's addicted to the vape or a smoker or whatever. So I really want this to be like kind of like an episode that will give you the tools and like the knowledge to convince that person, your loved one,
and the motivation.
Yes. So feel free to send this episode to somebody that you know you care about and you want them to quit this disgusting, terrible habit.
Oh, you already know. If you're in my life and you smoke, I am sending this episode to you. Yeah, you're welcome. So,
and Shir, you're like the type of person who you never even got into it. Like you never even tried it, never fazed you. Mm-mm. But I think this will be interesting for people like you too, to hear like how you even get into this to begin with and like why it's so hard to stop. Because for you and people like you, it's like, how dumb can you be? Like you're doing this habit that's really bad for you.
Yep.
Like when, why wouldn't you want to quit?
Yeah.
So I read this book called The Easy Way by Alan Carr. And this basically rewires your brain and explains nicotine addiction in a way that you've never like been exposed to before. And it's very helpful. When you just hear like you have to stop, it's bad for you. When you're in the thick of it, of like in a nicotine addiction, that just makes you like nervous and like it just makes you want to smoke more. Like somehow it just does that to you. So what this book does is it rewires your brain. And the whole time it's telling you, this is not a hard thing to do. It's, you've been like brainwashed to think that it's this impossible task. And really, it's really easy. And you'll be much happier without it. This shouldn't be like a negative, because a lot of addicts think like, nicotine addicts think like, okay, I know this is bad for me. And like, they carry this shame and anxiety about it, but at the same time, they really believe that their life will be worse without it. And I remember thinking that too, like, oh, like, yeah, this is bad, but like, I genuinely thought my life would be like less enjoyable without it.
Like, why though? Like, what was the urge or what went through your mind to think that?
Because you just think like, oh, I won't enjoy like a cocktail the same way, or like, If I'm on edge, like I won't be able to like take the edge off. Like you genuinely think that it's giving you something positive when, and that's the whole scam of nicotine, when it's really giving you nothing. Like this book tells you, it's a crazy for somebody who's addicted to nicotine to hear this, but like you've genuinely never enjoyed a hit of the vape or a cigarette in your whole entire life. It's all in the mind. And that's why this book is so wild, because it shows you how powerful your mind is.
So basically like, you're saying that like the vape enhances every experience you're going through every day, and then it also solves your negative feelings?
No, the scam of nicotine makes you believe that that's what it's doing to you, when in reality, it's not doing anything. It's literally, it's not like smoking weed or doing any other drug. It doesn't do anything for you, but the marketing around it has made you think that it's giving you some kind of positive feeling when it's giving you no feeling at all. And even the, all of these companies trying to get you to quit, like nicotine gum and like, I don't know, any sort of program that is trying to get you to quit smoking, they're also in on the scam, because they're telling you like, it's hard And like, we're here to give you another nicotine outlet to help you get out of it. So they're also, do you get what I'm saying? They're also
contributing.
In on
the scam. They're contributing to it. When you're, like you said, when you're anxious, for example, or when you're stressed, and your automatic reaction when you're addicted to this thing is to hit it. Why? Because it gives you a sense of relief.
So that's what you are brainwashed to believe.
Okay.
But really, you're not feeling anything.
So it's not true. It's a scam.
It's not true. But like, you've trained your mind to think that like anytime you smoke, like let's say you've had a hard day, you've trained your mind to think like, I'm taking a hit. Okay. Like I feel better.
Also, there's like associations in psychology. So exactly. Like if you're used to smoking when you exactly. drink, you're going to always smoke when you drink. It's like that association, that habit that you've built.
Yes, exactly. So what this book does, it gives you a bunch of analogies that like drill into your head what I'm trying to say right now. So like one example is like, let's say like this applies to cigarette smokers, but like it can apply, like the idea is the same for like vaping. But for example, somebody who smokes cigarettes goes on a 12-hour flight, okay? Across like whatever they're going to Europe, whatever it is. So they know when they get on a plane, they cannot smoke, right? So they're like prepared. They're not like having withdrawals and miserable the entire flight. They're normal. They're completely fine. Okay. Now the plane is like, okay, you have like 30 minutes left. You start telling your brain like, okay, 30 minutes until my cigarette.
Yeah, mentally preparing.
Yeah, I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. Let's say all of a sudden, like there's a change in plans and the flight is stalled or delayed.
Okay.
Okay. Like it's stuck on the runway. Now, all of a sudden, the anxiety and the stress kicks in because you were preparing to have that cigarette, that relief that you're teaching your brain.
And now you're disappointed.
Yeah. And now the plans have changed. And now you start feeling like the withdrawals, the physical withdrawals. So really that just shows you that it's not about, there's no physical benefit to it. It's all mental. And the mental barrier is what makes it so hard to quit smoking, not the physical. People don't want to quit because they're afraid of the physical withdrawals. This book teaches you that the physical withdrawals maybe last 48 hours at max, like where you feel a little bit. And I can attest to that. Like the first day, I felt a little bit like, I don't know, like I needed to like chew gum or something. Like my mouth was like used to like something, you know what I mean?
Well, and like also maybe the this habit is addicting, like eating, drinking, smoking, like this habit of, no one's looking at me on the thing if you're listening, but like your arm basically picking something up and putting it to your mouth. Like there is like psychological studies of just that specific movement and the addiction to that.
Exactly. But even that, it doesn't last so long. Like I was somebody who was been on and off the vape since it came out, like since we were in college, and like always trying to quit. But like every time I tried to quit, I looked at it as like a negative thing. And like when I quit, it was like, I felt like something was missing. Like I would see people smoking. I would be like, oh, I want. And like, I would always fall back into it because I thought I was missing something. But when I quit this time around, I didn't have that at all. Like I did not. The first day was hard, I'm not going to lie, but like it was just the first day. And then I was totally fine.
There's nicotine in the vape, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I mean, like a lot of people say like that smoking is both physical and psychological, like the addiction, because it causes your brain to change over time. So like your brain gets used to the fact that nicotine needs it, the brain needs nicotine to feel fine. But doesn't it like eventually like activate receptors that releases dopamine and then like it makes you feel good? So your brain starts brain starts evolving.
That's what it does. But the book explains this a lot better. But so every time you hit the vape or you have a cigarette, you get that instant dopamine hit, right? But once you smoke, all you're doing is making yourself need and rely on that next hit. It's not doing anything positive for you. You're just making yourself want it the next time. You know what I mean? Like it's just like this, that's all it's doing because
yeah, it makes
sense. Like any sort of instant gratification type of thing where it's just, and like with the vape, it's just too easy. So like if you're smoking it constantly, like your brain is just like, and the way the book explains it, like, and this will kind of sum things up perfectly, is you have, a little monster and a big monster. And the little monster is the physical, like the physical withdrawals, the physical feelings. And the little monster is very easy to kill. Okay. You can kill the little monster in 48 hours. Like you can barely even feel the physical effects of stopping to quit, like of stopping nicotine. The hard part is killing the big monster, which is the mental dialogue that you go through in your head of thinking this is doing something positive for you. This is making you less stressed. This is making you more awake. This is making you more focused. Like these are all things, this is making you less hungry. These are all things that like people who smoke nicotine think.
So the small, like, the little monster is the action and the big monster is your brain.
The little monster is the physical withdrawals.
Smoking. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
Like I'll explain it a little better. There could be somebody that has killed the little monster and they're not smoking nicotine for, let's say, years, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're that person that every time they see a cigarette, they're like, oh, what I would do to have that. So that person, even though
like
they'll never touch the vape or cigarette again, they still haven't killed the big monster. They still have the urge. They're still suffering.
They have the urge, the need. Yeah.
They're still suffering because they think that they're still missing something and that the nicotine did something positive for them when it did nothing for them.
When you stop smoking, your brain gets used to not having nicotine in it.
Exactly.
So like obviously
it's the little monster.
It's the little monster. So like you obviously like have some side effects, right? Like you're going to have maybe some withdrawal symptoms, like getting annoyed quickly or having anxiety. But like that's temporary.
Yeah. And even that, like we're taught to think that's those are long effects, long lasting effects. They're not. Those are barely even noticeable. It's all like what we've been trained to think by all of the marketing behind nicotine. Like,
yeah. At the end of the day, like,
it's all a scam.
Just think about that. It literally is a scam. And like, it's also, and this is like what I mean, you know, my thoughts on this entire topic in general, even with weed, but these actions are just covering up dealing with other emotions.
Yeah.
And I really believe that with everything. Like, I know people don't agree with me. And like, everyone knows all of our friends know my thoughts on this. But like, you have to face reality at some point in life. And you can delay facing reality as long as you want and do things like hitting the vape or smoking weed or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to face reality and figure out like, what is the underlying cause making you do this? And what are you avoiding dealing with? Yeah. I really believe that. So I agree with all of this, even though I didn't read the book or smoke.
Yeah. And I used to think that, like, I used to like look at somebody like you and be like, oh, like you're so lucky that you don't have like this in your head, that you never even like that you don't have an addictive personality, I would say. But like this book teaches you that like nicotine addiction is not about an addictive personality. It's just that I continued a bad habit and you never tried it. That's the only difference between me and you. Like our brains are not different.
Yep.
There's literally no difference. And
I mean, we all have bad habits. Like my bad habit is like drinking Coca-Cola. Like I love it.
Yeah.
And I have to freaking stop drinking it because I know how horrible it is for my body. So I limit myself. I tell myself, okay, once a week, twice a week max.
Yeah.
Everyone has their bad habits and everyone's working on bettering themselves in different areas. It doesn't necessarily need to be just smoking.
Yeah. But smoking is just, nicotine is such a, like if you're in it, I know exactly how it feels and you have so much anxiety about it because you know, like you don't feel good. You know, it's bad for you, but the anxiety of quitting, it keeps you stuck in this vicious cycle and it's really a terrible place to be in. And so I just want people to know that it's not as hard as you think to quit. Like once I read this book and like I was able to quit and like I know I'm never going to go back to it. I was like, what took me so long? Like this is such a simple thing and it's because nobody talks about it. And this book, that there's a reason it's called The Easy Way because it really is easy.
Wow. You should go on a press tour for this book. You should reach out to the author and tell him how much he impacted your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know not everybody's a reader. So I really wanted to film this podcast to send it to people. Like I spoke to my sister, one of my sisters.
This was your Spark Notes version for everyone who doesn't want to read the book.
Yeah. And I swear, I've like explained this to my sister, and that was enough for her to not touch the vape again also.
Well, so you inspired another person. This is like the network effect.
Yeah. And she didn't even read the book, but I do highly recommend the book because what it does, it's kind of hypnotizes you. So like in your everyday like routine, you know, things will come up. Like for example, people who smoke after they eat a meal or something, they're like used to that like relief and whatever. Yeah. So when you're having those thoughts like, oh, I wish I could have it, it's like the book immediately talks to you because you've read it. So I really recommend reading it. But hopefully what I'm saying here makes sense. And just love keep that in mind.
No, I think it's a great life lesson. I think it's a valuable lesson in general. And
yeah,
teaches a lot about self-control.
Yeah. And your mind is so powerful. Like
we are all,
you can do anything with your mind.
We are all stronger than we think.
Yes.
Our bodies are meant to overcome and survive so much more than we think that it can.
Yeah. And just always remember that nicotine is a scam. Okay. It's not what they make it out to seem. Quitting is not what they make it out to seem.
Guys, the tobacco industry has been under scrutiny for so long in terms of the advertising and the distribution. Like, guys, it's a business.
Yeah, it really is. And so are the people claiming to help you want to quit. It's also a business.
But forming good habits is super important. And like, that's kind of what we try to help you guys do here on the podcast, right? Like we published an episode about not caring about what people think, surrounding yourself with people who support you and being the authentic version of yourself and trying to achieve like your personal and career goals. And so like, there are so many ways that you can instill these good habits in your life. And we're here to help with that. And this has been a big epidemic, I think. The vape in general in the US, across the world. I mean, countries have started banning it. I mean,
it's insane.
It was a huge
thing. Especially with younger people.
Yeah.
Like smoking cigarettes had its day in the sun and it kind of went away for a while. And then all of a sudden the vape came out and all of a sudden high schoolers and middle schoolers are smoking it. Like it's just terrible.
Well, cigarettes are still a very, very big issue in Europe and other parts of the world. A lot of young people, they smoke.
But when we were growing up, it wasn't a thing really for people in middle school.
In the US, no. No. In the US, it's less. Like in the US, cigarettes is less of an issue than it is elsewhere. I mean, in Tel Aviv, in Israel, the number of people who smoke cigarettes, it's normal.
No, in Europe, in Israel, it's obviously different.
So like, but the vape is basically the cigarette epidemic in Europe. Yeah. It's the epidemic here in the US. So
yeah, and one is not better than the other. They're both bad.
It's just, you could use the same logic, the same thing you just explained.
100%.
For both.
It's
so if you smoke cigarettes, use the same logic that Sanaya just talked about.
Yeah. And just always remember that the little monster dies very quickly, okay? In 2 days, you'll be feeling fine. Don't stress about the physical withdrawals. Try to focus on killing the big monster, which is the mental gymnastics that we do in our mind that torture us. And then you'll be free.
And then you're free. Then you'll be a free bird.
And life is better on the other side. If you feel healthier, you feel good, you feel energized. Like you'll enjoy a cocktail just the same, I promise. Mm-hmm. You'll enjoy your food better.
I was very proud of Sanaya when I found out. My jaw dropped.
Well, yeah, it's been a long process since it came out, since the Juul first came out when we were in college. But yeah.
Well, this has been a great episode. We've been talking about all things Taylor Swift, breakfast toasts, and stop smoking the vape. So guys,
this is just me in a nutshell.
We're very versatile here. We talk about all things that we're talking about and we're not kidding.
We're not kidding at all. This is actually what we speak about and what we're talking about in the group chat.
Exactly. So with that, we hope we added a little spice to your life.
Woo!
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye.